Good morning, congregation, and welcome to our service again this morning. A special welcome to those who are online and who cannot be here. We hope that you too will be blessed by this service today. I have one announcement, and that is in regards to elders and deacon nominations. Our elders meeting is this Thursday, so we are asking for nominations for the position of elder and deacon. So there's forms at the back that you can fill in, and if you could get them to me before Thursday night, it would be appreciated. Hopefully we will have our list put together this week. So it's, as you can see, we have a guest pastor today, and Pastor Andrew is in St. Thomas on classical appointment, and we have the privilege of listening to Pastor Kuipers from Sarnia, and we welcome you to our pulpit this morning.
Good morning. Does this thing come down a little bit, or? There, that's better. Now I can see everybody. It's good to be with you again this morning, and what a lovely day the Lord has blessed us with again. If not, I mean, the entire week has been just a wonderful week, hasn't it? So we come together this morning to worship our God in spirit and truth, and let us arise for our call to worship. Christ is alive. The sting of death has been defeated. God has given us the victory over death by forgiving us through faith in the sacrifice of Jesus. The resurrection of humankind has been made possible through Christ's resurrection. What a Savior. Let us give Him unending praise. And we will sing together, Christ is alive. Let Christians sing. The Lord greets you with His love. To those who are called, who are beloved in God the Father and kept safe for Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. And all God's people say, Amen. Thine is the glory. As we come into the presence of a holy God, we know that we are not a perfect people. We have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved God with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We do not wholly trust our Lord's sacrifice, but think that we can earn our way into heaven. Let this be our time of confession as we personally bow our hearts before the Lord in silent prayer. In your great mercy, hear our prayer, O Lord. Amen. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. At this time, we will have our children coming forward for the children's moment.
Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Okay? It's been a beautiful week, hasn't it? The weather, like, it's my kind of weather. Perfect weather. You could be outside. You didn't need a coat on. It was like summer this week. It's not summer yet, but it was like summer this week. And when I was thinking about Pastor Jake coming this week and that the weather was like summer this week, I was thinking about what Pastor Jake and his wife and me and a whole bunch of other people used to do. Every Victoria Day, every Canada Day, every first Monday in August, and every Labor Day, we would go to my mom and dad's house and we'd have a barbecue there. And we did that for years and years and years. We went and had barbecues, and the beach was there, and there'd be kids like you there, and there'd be teenagers there. There'd be older people there, married people there, single people there. But we had a lot of fun. You can ask Pastor Jake. He was there. And we would have a lot of fun on those holiday Mondays in the summertime. And I was thinking about all that this week and how much fun that was. And I was thinking about how much I miss that, because we can't do that anymore, because some of the people are now in heaven. So we can't go to their house anymore. And we can't have those barbecues anymore. But we all had a good time and we miss it. But then I was thinking about what Pastor Jake is going to preach about and what Mrs. Pat, before church, I loved it, what she was playing about, every song I could just sing along. It was about the fact that when Jesus died and rose again, like we celebrated last Sunday, Easter, that he rose again, that now we know that we will all rise again and we will all live in heaven. And we will have barbecues and banquets and feasts all together that will be way better than those summer barbecues that Pastor Jake and I used to go to. They will be perfect, whole, peaceful, fun, and Jesus will be there in our presence there. And I was thinking about that this week, that because Jesus rose from the dead, we can all someday be together in heaven and have a great time. That's what's going to happen when Jesus returns, so we can pray that he comes soon, because it will be wonderful. Shall we pray? Fold your hands, please, and close your eyes. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that you defeated death. You defeated all the wickedness and evil in this world by your death and resurrection, and that you're coming back for us. And someday we can be in heaven with you. And oh, what a day that will be. We pray, Lord, you will come quickly. We ask you'll bless these children in Sunday school and bless the rest of us here. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Before we go to our congregational prayer, I'll be mentioning a few things in our prayer. I guess last night, a family from Chatham, the Westervelt family, were suddenly given the news that their son, Luke, had passed away, and that will be probably some people from this congregation that went to school with him. So we'll be praying for the Westervelt family. Also, Asher Miller broke his leg this week, I guess. So he's we'll be praying for him and a quick recovery for him. That might slow him down for the summer, I guess. So That's unfortunate, but we will pray for him that he will have a speedy recovery. And some good news that we can share with Pete and Mary Ann, who celebrated their 40th anniversary this week. So congratulations. And so that'll be a few of the things that we'll be praying for. Shall we go to our Lord in congregational prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we come to Thee at the morning of this beautiful Sunday, a day of sunshine and glorious weather. We give You thanks for the beautiful week that You gave to us, a reminder of the beautiful gift that You gave to us of Your Son dying on the cross and rising from the dead, that Easter morning of joy and celebration. And we've seen it in our weather this past week of that new life, and seeing the trees blossom and already seeing leaves coming out and flowers blooming. Lord, what a joy it is to this see spring coming to life again. Lord, we thank You for this wonderful reassurance of Your grace and mercy to us. Lord, we thank You for the new season that is upon us, and we look forward to a season of planting, and we pray that You will continue to bless us as the farmers go out into the field and prepare the fields for the season ahead. We ask for safety and guidance through this time. Lord, we also thank You for the celebrations that we can look at, and we thank You for the 40th anniversary from Peter and Mary Ann Vanderspeck as they celebrated 40 years of marriage. What a gift this has been for them, and we thank You for being with them through the past 40 years, and we pray that You'll continue to be with them and guide them. Lord, we thank You for our church and for the number of youth that we have in our church, for the young families that are in this church. Lord, we pray for them, and as they continue to grow and learn more about You, and we pray for the families, we pray for the parents as they continue to guide them and direct them in their spiritual walk. Lord, we pray for our programs in this church, the cadets, the gems, the Sunday school, the Bible studies that continue to go on week to week. We also pray for the leaders that they too may be encouraged and strengthened, and that they may continue to guide our children and that in the way to understand more and more clearly about You. Lord, we also bring our concerns to You. Lord, we thank You for that we can come to You with all of our praise, but also our concerns. We ask that You will be with those who have not been here for several weeks, and who we may never see in our presence or in this building again. But we know that You are still with them. We think of Brenda and Jenny. We think of Michelle Van Gorkum, who have been away from us for several weeks and even months already, and we ask that You will be with them in a special way each week. Lord, we pray for those who mourn the loss of loved ones. We think of the Westervelt family who had the sudden passing of their son, Luke. And Lord, we ask that You will comfort this family in this sudden loss. We pray for those who have lost some of their abilities to do the things that they loved to do and can't do them no more, and how they yearn to be able to do them, and we ask that You will give them peace, knowing that You have a plan for them as well. We pray for those who mourn the loss of loved ones and still have a missing part in their lives. We pray that You will continue to comfort them through this time. Lord, we also ask that You will be with the church council this coming week As we meet together again, we ask that you will give us wisdom in our planning, and as the elections will be coming up, that you will put forward names that will be appropriate for this congregation. Lord, you know what's best for us, and we pray that we will make wise and decisions in this endeavor. Lord, we also ask that you will pray, be with Pastor Andrew and his family and the work that he does. We ask that you will continue to guide him and give him all that he stands in need of, so that he too may continue to proclaim your word to us and be our shepherd in this flock. Lord, we also thank you that Pastor Kuipers could join us this morning and to proclaim your word to us. We ask that you will bless him as he proclaims your word, and may the words that he speaks to us be an encouragement, and that we too may go out from this building being your hands and feet in this community, and that we may be strong, bold ambassadors of your word. Lord, we ask that you will guide us and direct us through this coming week. We ask that you will keep sin far from us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning is going to be taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Last Sunday we had the privilege once again of celebrating Easter, and now in the glow of Easter we will look at the chapter that's often called or referred to as the resurrection chapter in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 35. But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies, but the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another, and star differs from star in splendor. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Thanks be to God for His word, and may He also bless us in our understanding of it this morning. Congregation of our Lord, have you ever wondered about what's going to happen to you when you die? I dare say it's one of the most basic questions everyone has thought about at some time. Of course, opinions on this subject are sure to be many and varied. There are many all around the world who believe that nothing happens after you die. As far as they're concerned, we live, we die, and that's it. They don't believe that there's any life after death, because there's nothing in us that survives our death. Our brain dies, our heart dies, all our organ dies, and eventually we turn to dust. There are also many who believe in reincarnation, the teaching that we are recycled, so to speak, after we die. At some point following one's death, he or she will return to earth to live a new life all over again, either as a human being or perhaps as an animal or even an insect, where your soul will re-enter another body. It's a process that just keeps repeating itself over and over. When you die, your soul leaves the body, wanders around for a while, only to occupy some other body again at a future date. Some even think they know who they were in a former life, perhaps 100 or even 300 years ago. Needless to say, no one has ever come back following their death that let us know exactly what had happened to them. So we're left to wonder and speculate, unless we choose to believe what the Bible teaches us. God's word teaches us that when Christ returns, the dead in Christ will rise again and be with the Lord forever. That's our sure hope, and it's also a basic article of the Christian faith that we confess whenever we recite the Apostles' Creed, I believe in the resurrection of the body. The body. Friends, the bodily resurrection of Jesus is the most profound event that has ever occurred in the history of the world. If one thinks that D-Day is of great historical significance since it marked the turning point of World War II. Its significance is but a drop in the ocean compared to that first Easter Sunday. We must realize that Easter changes the entire landscape regarding not just our own personal future, but the future of the world. The decisive battle between good and evil, between Christ and Satan, has been fought. And Christ's victory changes the outcome of everything. As we read in the first part of this chapter, this resurrection chapter, if we don't believe in the resurrection of Christ, if Christ hasn't risen, we of all people are the greatest fools on earth. And we are just plain stupid being here this morning. If Christ hasn't risen. But his rising is the grace of the greatest significance in the world. In 1 Peter 1 we read, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Central to our living hope is the hope of the resurrection of the body, the resurrection and of life everlasting. For the Christian, death merely marks the end of this present life here on earth and the beginning of a glorious new life that awaits all God's people." Our reading from 1 Corinthians 15 presents us with both good news and bad news. The good news is that on the day of resurrection, everyone who died anticipating Christ's return will receive a new glorified body just like Jesus. Now, the unwelcome news is that we need to die first before we can receive our new resurrected bodies. We need to die first. This doesn't mean, of course, that we should seek our own death, but neither should we be anxious about death, as though there isn't something far more glorious awaiting us. As much as we may hate to die or hate to see a loved one die, we have something wonderful to look forward to on the other side of this earthly life. Our hope in the resurrection of the body is a hope that is truly awesome and unique to the Christian faith. Jesus' new resurrection body is a living, breathing testimony and promise to us that the same inconceivable miracle that took place on Easter Sunday is in store for us as well. Here in 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul wants us to know with certainty that Jesus is the first fruits of all who have fallen asleep, meaning that if he is the first fruits, then there's more fruit to follow. When the farmer brings in the first hopper of wheat, there's more wheat to follow. As surely as he arose with a glorious new resurrected body, so will we. And so will all those who have preceded us in death. And friends, not only can we be sure of our bodily resurrection, but it's also something we can eagerly anticipate. Obviously, we are sad. We are sad and grieve the loss of a loved one. We hate to lose a loved one, whether a parent, a child, a spouse, or a dear friend. It's only natural to want to hold on to someone we dearly love for as long as we can. Death is so final in the separation that it brings. Death doesn't care how much you will miss your loved one. And who wants to surrender or give up their loved one who's so precious to them? And yet, how much more bearable it is to release a loved one when we possess this living hope of the resurrection and the glorious future. Because death isn't the end. In the early days of my ministry, almost 50 years ago, I would frequently hear different war stories from some of the seniors that I visited. And they would talk about how terrible it was living in Holland during the winter, especially the winter of 44, when there was such a scarcity of food throughout the Netherlands, and there was just extreme hunger everywhere. And I was told of a man crying as he planted his last few remaining potatoes, despite his family begging him not to do so that they could eat them. Nevertheless, he planted them in the hope that those potatoes would bring forth a whole new crop. He was prepared to sacrifice those potatoes, those desperately needed potatoes, with no guaranteed hope of a new crop. But we can bury our loved ones and even receive strength in our grief as we look through our tears to a better day in the sure hope, the guaranteed hope of resurrection. Now, I must confess that as a young teenager, I didn't correctly understand why Christ was called the first fruits of the dead. Obviously, there had been many others before Jesus' resurrection who had also died and come back from the dead. So why was he called the first fruits? For instance, in the Old Testament, we read of the two widows whose children were raised back to life by the prophets Elijah and Elisha. And even during his own ministry, Jesus also raised several people from the dead. The daughter of Jairus, the son of the widow of Nain, Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, just to name a few. And following the crucifixion, Matthew tells us that on the day Jesus died, the tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Imagine what a bewildering sight that must have been. So I was puzzled as to why Jesus was called the first fruits of the dead when many others before him had also come back from the dead. What I failed to understand was that Jesus' bodily resurrection was completely different from that of Lazarus, or all the others who had been raised back to life. The difference between Jesus' resurrection and all those others who had been raised back to life is as immense and profound as the difference between a tiny seed planted into the ground and the new plant that comes forth again. The difference is as great as the acorn planted into the ground, as different as that acorn is from the massive oak tree that comes forth, or as the apple seed is to the apple tree. When the widow's son was raised back to life, he merely came back like the seed that was planted into the ground. It would be like taking that potato you might have just put into the ground a week ago, or maybe just this week, and now going back out into the yard, into the garden, and pulling it right up again. Still subject to decay and rot. But when Jesus arose, he arose with a glorious new resurrection body, no longer identical in any way to the seed, to the body that was planted. You see, when Jesus raised Lazarus back from the dead, Lazarus did not come forth from the tomb with a glorious resurrection body, but he came back to life with that very same body that had been placed in the grave some 4 days earlier. The same earthly body that was still subject to sickness, weakness, and death. Just like our bodies, the body Jesus received when he came to earth, born of the Virgin Mary, was subject to aches and pains, weakness, aging, and death. But his new resurrection body isn't subject to any of that. To help us understand the profound difference between the old and the new, Paul uses the illustration of the seed and what becomes of that seed when it is planted and died and dies. What comes up out of the ground is radically different from what was put in the ground. In that sense, Jesus' resurrection marks the first fruits of a glorious new body, no longer subject to weakness or decay or death. But already in Paul's day, there were those who ridiculed this biblical truth concerning the resurrection of the body. Some, influenced by Greek philosophy, believed in the immortality of the soul, but denied the resurrection of the body. They believed that your soul departs from your body, the body is gone, never to come back again, and the soul lives on. Sarcastically, they questioned the Apostle Paul. What kind of body could arise from a heap of decomposed rubbish, or from a corpse that's returned to dust and that's now become fertilizer to new growth? Or what kind of body could ever arise out of an incinerated corpse that's been turned into ashes? How is that possible? That's nonsense. So Paul addresses these skeptics, and he tells them how foolish they are in their way of thinking. He reminds them of the miracle that we witness all around us every spring. And he compares our earthly body to a seed planted in the ground. Yes, that seed will decompose, but out of it will come a plant that bears no resemblance whatsoever to the seed that was planted. Suppose you've never seen a stalk of corn in your life. You have no idea what corn looks like. Would you believe me if I told you that this little seed of corn, I was going to ask you, Joni, for a seed of corn, I forgot. Would you believe me if I told you that this little seed of corn, when put in the ground, will turn into some 6-foot stalk, loaded with an ear growing on it, or maybe two ears growing on it, loaded with hundreds of more kernels. For someone who's never seen a stalk of corn in her life, how would she ever be able to visualize or imagine what could become of that little seed? And yet, how amazing. As different as the stalk of corn is from the seed, it's still corn, and it's still true to its nature. And so too, as different as your glorious new body will be from your earthly body, it will still be you. Remember how no one recognized Jesus following his resurrection? And yet it was still the same Jesus. All Mary needed to hear was his voice, and she knew instantly it was Jesus. But what the Apostle Paul wants us to understand is that we cannot receive our new heavenly body unless our earthly body dies. In other words, part of the process, death, is part of the process of resurrection. As much as we may wish not to die, it's the only way to receiving a glorious new body. We hate death. But suppose for a moment you couldn't die. Think of what that would mean. The blind would remain forever blind. The terminally ill would remain forever terminally ill. The injustices of our world would continue unabated forever. That would be horrible. Aching hearts would continue to ache and never be healed. Surely when we think of someone who has suffered much, death comes as a blessing. And we can thank God for the sure hope of a glorified new body that awaits our loved one. Neither must we think of our new bodies as merely a reconstruction of our old bodies. Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. Rather, the new body, unlike the old, will be fitted for eternity. It will reflect the splendor of the new kingdom for which it is suited. And to help us appreciate the difference between the old and the new, Paul uses four contrasts. He says, what goes into the ground perishable, subject to sickness, death, and decay, will come up out of the ground imperishable, never again subject to wear and tear. What is sown in dishonor because of our fallen sinful nature will be raised in glory, reflecting the glory of the new creation. What is sown in weakness, for how frail and weak our bodies truly are, will be raised in power, characterized by a strength we can't even begin to fathom. And finally, what is sown a natural body will be raised a spiritual body, properly fit, designed for the new kingdom. A few years ago, it was shown on the news how the new helicopter being designed for Mars is totally different from the one suitable here for Earth. So too, our bodies fitted for the life to come won't be anything like our earthly bodies. Who among us can even begin to imagine how awesome this event is going to be on the day of resurrection? As this resurrection chapter makes clear, Easter truly marks a turning point in every way. And even though death may still be something many are reluctant to talk about, this great truth, the resurrection of the body, can really help us live life to the full without having to fear death. And furthermore, this truth can give us immense comfort every time we bury a loved one. No, we may not welcome death. It will always remain our enemy. But neither do we need to fear it or spend every last dollar trying to avoid it. After all, we are a people of hope and faith, are we not? As the grave could not hold Jesus, neither can it hold those who put their confidence and hope in him. Indeed, our God is an awesome God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for the strong word of comfort your word speaks to us today. Thank you for the encouragement that we need not fear death because we belong to you, and death cannot separate us from you or our loved ones who place their hope in you, but merely serves as the doorway into a world without sin or suffering or tears. Help us to take care of our earthly bodies while living out our lives here on earth, and to look forward to the new spiritual bodies designed for us in the world to come. Take away our fear of death, as though it spells the end to everything, and help us to be a people of confidence and hope because of Jesus' victory over death. In his precious and all-powerful name we pray, amen. Let us respond with the singing of When Peace Like a River.
After which our offerings will be taken.
Should come.
Let us just remain standing as we profess our faith together. I will read the question, and we will have responsive reading with the answers. What will happen at the end of time? Visibly as he descended with great glory and majesty to declare himself the judge of the living and the dead. Will everyone see him when he comes? All human creatures will appear in person before the great judge. Men, women, and children who have lived from the beginning until the end of the world. They will be summoned there by the voice of the archangel and by the sound of the divine trumpet. What about those who have already died? Will they miss it? All those who died before that time will be raised from the earth, their spirits being joined and united with their own bodies in which they live. What about those who are still alive? As for those who are still alive, they will not die like the other, but will be changed in the twinkling of the eye, corruptible into the grave. Let us respond with the singing of By the Sea of Crystal.
Sea of crystal, saints in glory still.
apologies. The elder just informed me I forgot about the offering, so if we could just have a moment to take up the offering, and maybe after the offering we can sing the third stanza of this hymn once again, so that we leave here with the sound of that third stanza rather than the tingling of money in our collection plate.
This morning's offerings for the diaconate. Please, dear Lord, please bless this money that's given to the diaconate. Lord, grant the deacons wisdom with this money that you entrusted to us to help people in your church and your community, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Forth with God's blessing. May God go before you to lead you. May God go behind you to guard you. May God go beneath you to support you. May God go beside you to befriend you. Be not afraid. Let the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon you today and settle in and around you. Do not be afraid. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. And all God's people say, Amen.
God be the glory to God. Spirit.